Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. This is the Longhorn Confidential for Tuesday, November 28th. I'm Danny Davis, the Austin American Statesman. As always, Kirk Bowles, Cedric Golden, Thomas Jones are joining me on this weekly adventure that we call a podcast. And we appreciate you listening to us wherever you get your podcasts, watching us on YouTube or on statesman.com. But let's get right to business. In my opinion, we don't need to spend much time talking about last weekend, 57-7, Texas routed Texas Tech. Kind of what was a fun environment, but we don't really need to talk about the crowd, but kudos to CDC and his crew for creating that environment and for the fans for showing up. But it's been a while since we've been able to talk championships on this podcast, on this website, and that's what we're going to do here. The Big 12 championship game this Saturday, AT&T Stadium in Arlington, 11 a.m. ABC if you're watching at home, but hopefully you're able to make that trip to Arlington and hang out with me and a couple thousand Texas fans, Oklahoma State fans, because that's the two fan groups that we'll be playing in this game. Let's get right to it. This Texas team that we saw against Texas Tech this past weekend, do you expect that to be the Texas team that we see on Saturday? Kirk, we will start with you.
I'm going to say no, but only for these reasons. Last week was the perfect storm. Home game, last home game of the year, night game, rowdy crowd. Had to win to clinch the Big 12 title game appearance. Senior night, you know, none of those things are out there except for obviously winning the Big 12. So I'm not saying they're going to be flat, but that was about as electric an atmosphere as I've seen at DKR in God knows how long. I mean, and the way the fans stayed afterwards. So, yeah, they're going to be super motivated. We all know that. But I don't know if they'll have that little bit extra. And then I didn't even mention the Ormark video. But unfortunately, I was told today that he left at halftime, so Brett didn't see the video himself. I'm sure he heard about it. So I'd say not exactly the same team, just not the same environment for the Longhorns.
Yeah, my wife asked me if I saw his reaction when that video was played, and I said there was no way he was anywhere within 10 miles of downtown Austin when that happened. Said your thoughts on whether this Texas team is the Texas team we're going to see for the rest of the season.
This week, on Saturday, they're going to be in a tussle, and it won't be a home field advantage, and it won't be all the pageantry of senior night or any of that, but they'll be the better team. They'll win the game. And I'm a believer in momentum. I know Tom Herman wasn't, but I'm a believer in momentum. They have a lot of momentum. They know they can win a game in many types of ways, and they don't always have to play their best to win the game. So they have enough in their quiver to get this done. And it's not going to be 57-7. It's not going to be something like that. Oklahoma State's going to show up. They seem to show up against good teams, and then they don't show up against bad teams. Texas is a really good team, so they're going to show up. And it's going to be a really fun game. But, yeah, you won't see a blowout of that proportion on Saturday.
PJ?
I think you will see what the Texas team that showed up Friday against Tech. Now, they're not going to win by 50, but I think they learned something. They were a lot more aggressive in pass coverage. You notice they would press those Tech receivers at the line of scrimmage, and it didn't hurt them. I think you'll see that against Okie State. I think the defense will play really well. And if that defense can hold Okie State to, you know, Alan Bowman's quarterback, if they can hold him to under 300, I think they win by 3 or 4 touchdowns, and I think that's what's going to happen. I really do.
What I thought was nice about that win on Friday was it was just a team effort. I mean, throughout the entire, the offense played well. Jaden Blue, you know, had his kind of breakout game. The defense obviously played well, holding, attacked to 7 points, and Taj Brooks got some yards, but didn't get, wasn't that explosive. And then the special teams played really, really well. They had a block punt. Keelan Robinson has kickoff return for a touchdown. Bert Auburn kicked 5 field goals. I'm sure Ryan Sanborn had a nice punch or two as well if he was actually needed in that game. But, it was just a complete team effort. And sure, 57-7 is not going to happen in the championship game, but I think this is a team that we can expect all three phases of the game. Steve always talks about complementary football. I think finally they got that in that Tech game, and I think that's something that they can expect to carry over. So I don't expect a 50-point blowout, but I do expect all three aspects of this game to show up, because there's no reason for the offense not to play well, because, that offense played well without its stars. I mean, Quinn Ewers didn't have a spectacular game. Xavier Worthy, when he wasn't hobbling around on whatever ankle he hurt, had one nice catch, but wasn't a 100-yard game for him. Adonai Mitchell didn't need to stand out. So if those three guys step up, the defense keeps playing well, and the special teams, plays like as it has throughout the season, I think we'll see a good team effort against Oklahoma State on Friday or Saturday, whatever day they're playing. That does lead into my next question. I'm so confused with this last week. That Friday kickoff really, really threw me for a loop. But, Texas does win on Saturday. The MVP of the game will be fill in the blank. TJ, we'll let you have first crack at it.
It's kind of softball for me, because as Danny knows, I think Devondre Sweat, the big defensive tackle for Texas, I think he's the best player in the Big 12. Oklahoma State wants to pound the ball at you with Ollie Gordon. They're a great running back. I think Devondre Sweat and friends like Byron Murphy are going to stuff him. So I think Big Sweat is going to be the MVP of the game again. And I think he's the MVP of the team this year. I really do.
Pick your vote.
I'm going with Quinn. I think Quinn really wants to put behind him that performance that he talked about when you asked him on that very issue Monday. 3 interceptions. He was 19 of 49. He had 30 incompletions, and yeah, it was in the wind, and they should have run the ball more, but it is what it is. And that's the most interceptions he's had in his career. And the only other time he's had more than one was 2 against Oklahoma. So, I think he wants to get that taste out of his mouth. And I think, it's not a great Oklahoma State defense, but I think Quinn Ewers really wants to prove himself in this game. And I think he'll be the MVP.
Then who gets your nod?
Arch Manning. Just kidding.
Stop. No.
Stop. No. Stop.
Please.
You going to play a lot, you say?
No. I got to agree with my Paisan, TJ. He Sweat. If they stuff Ollie Gordon, they run Oklahoma State out of the city. They're going to kill him. If Ollie Gordon doesn't run for 150 yards, Oklahoma State's going to be in big trouble. Wow. They just be in big trouble. And so Devondre Sweat is the best defensive tackle in all of college football. He's the best player in the Big 12, definitely the best player on Texas's team. And that's saying something, because Texas is loaded this year. I mean, Texas has stars falling from the trees. Big 93 is a immovable force. And he will show up again on Saturday, and he will be the difference maker. Texas has plenty of weapons. Texas is going to score points, but it's a lot easier to score when you're getting stops.
I'll take the under on that 150 real quick, Seth. I'll take the under on that number.
Give me Jordan Whittington. I like full circle moments, and I think this would be a perfect one for Jordan, who obviously became a high school hero when in 2018 when Quero went up to the state championship game, and he just had one of the best ever high school championship games ever at AT&T Stadium. This is his first trip back to that stadium since. I think he's kind of come on strong the last couple of weeks. We all know what he does without catching the football, whether it's blocking, kind of the intangible stuff on this team, but he's been kind of a more frequently used target these past couple of weeks. And I think this will just be a nice senior moment. They're trying to feed him the ball and get him a touchdown on senior night. Didn't work. And I think they're not going to have to force it as much this week. I just think he's going to have a big game and kind of step up. Quinn's going to need his receivers to step up, and I think he's the one that steps up in a crowded room that obviously includes Jatavion Sanders, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell. But I think number 13 gets it done in his final game as a Longhorn and gets that full circle moment.
You got any numbers from that high school championship game for Jay Witt, Danny?
I know it's 6 touchdowns, it's a ton of rushing yards. He played both sides of the ball, so he which you have to do as a 4A player. But I think he, Michael Taft, had a nice interception for Westlake, one-handed pick of Quinn Ewers of all people a couple years ago. But I think of all the state champions in that Texas locker room, I think Jay Witt had the biggest game, the most memorable game. So I'm calling
very closely, Daniel, by Jatavion Sanders.
Oh, go look up those highlights for when he was over at Denton Ryan. He was
unblockable.
He was a stud on both sides of the football.
Nobody's picking Taft for MVP. I mean, that's the Michael Taft Stadium, right? Aren't they going to rename it?
That'd be a full circle moment for Michael Taft. But I'm gonna go with the offensive guy for my.
I like it.
I don't think Michael will hold it against me, but I do believe the MVP of the game does get some WWE championship belt because the Big 12 is trying to be cool and hip and whatever. But if Oklahoma State happens to win the championship belt, MVP honors, who on the Oklahoma State team will begin those honors? Since I went last, I'll go first. I'm actually going to pick Alan Bowman. I think TJ mentioned him, the quarterback. He does have some history with Texas. He was at Tech a few years ago before he went to Michigan. Now he's at Oklahoma State. His numbers aren't good. I think he has 10 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, around 2,000 yards. But the fact of the matter is, Oklahoma State's not going to beat Texas running the football. This Texas run defense is just too good. Ollie Gordon is spectacular. He's an All-American. He's going to be probably the conference player of the year. But I just have too much faith that this run defense is at least going to limit him. Like, he's not going to go for 205. So they're going to need this passing game to step up. This Texas pass defense can be had at times, and Alan Bowman is going to need to lead the way. So if Oklahoma State's going to land that knockout punch, it needs to be done through the air. Ollie Gordon probably is going to get some yardage, but it's just not going to be what they've had. He's not going to do what he did against BYU, five touchdowns or whatever. That's just not going to happen against the Texas run defense. So Alan Bowman and his receivers are going to need to step up if Oklahoma State is to win this game. Kirk, who's your Oklahoma State MVP if Oklahoma State is to win this game?
Well, it's got to be Gordon, because the only people that have stopped him has been Mike Gundy and the coaching staff. I mean, you know, the first three games of the year, he totaled 109 yards. I think he had 3 carries in one of those games. And he's got, 1,580 yards, and that's in the last 9 games. He's got 20 touchdowns, 8 in the last 2 games. So I agree with y'all. This is, I think, maybe the best rush defense, in the country, if it's not, Georgia or Michigan or Iowa. But I think I can see where, Gordon breaks a 65-yarder. And then a lot of the other ones are 0 yards, 2 yards, that kind of thing. But I think he's number one in the nation for a reason. I bet he breaks a long one. But if they win, it'd be either Ollie Gordon or that offensive line that makes the holes for him.
Said, who's your nominee?
It's Ollie. It's the OG. He, like Duck said, he's going to get loose once or twice. But over a full game, I just don't know that he can sustain it against this run defense. But if Oklahoma State is in the game, it's going to be because of Ollie. It won't be because of Alan Bowman. Alan Bowman is Alan Bowman. Ollie Gordon is a guy who's going to play at the next level and play well. They use words like downhill when the UT guys were talking about him. When you hear someone say a guy runs downhill, that means that I respect him because he's getting yards. So it'll be interesting to see early on if Texas comes in sleepy and he catches them slipping in the first quarter and busts one. That's the best time to get Texas before they settle in. So if it's a game, it'll be because Ollie Gordon's playing well.
TJ?
Nicholas Martin, and I'm not referring to the McCallum High School boys soccer coach, shout-out Knights. Nicholas Martin for Oklahoma State is a linebacker, and he is very good. He's going to be all conference. I think Okie State may have the best linebacking core in the Big 12 if it's not Texas. And Nicholas Martin's really good against the run. If they can slow that Texas running game and put the pressure on Quinn, Quinn hasn't had to carry the load in a while. You know, Texas ran for 300 whatever against Tech. If Nicholas Martin can help slow C.J. Baxter and Jaden Blue and those guys, that could set up Tech or Okie State for an upset. I think he's a really good player. Keep an eye on him.
He got 120 tackles. He leads the league.
A ball hawk. He's a good player.
He's a stud. Who you got, Danny?
Well, I already went. I picked Alan Bowman, but
we thought you might want to change your mind.
No, I'm still going down, but you know, Nicholas Martin was my other pick. Steve Sarkisian at his press conference on Monday did mention, pretty much same thing Thomas did, that Oklahoma State has one of the better linebacking cores in the Big 12, and I believe he wears number four, leads the charge for that linebacking core, and he's definitely an all-conference candidate. I think it's pretty safe to say he'll be one of the linebackers, along with, you know, Jalen Ford and Danny Stutzman at Oklahoma. Those are probably your three all-conference linebackers. So definitely keep an eye out for him when Oklahoma State is on defense. Oklahoma State at 9-3, they're playing for pride. They're playing for, you know, their first conference title since 2011. Playing for probably the Cotton Bowl if they were to win this game. As far as the New Year's Six Bowl, that would take them as the Big 12 champion. Texas, the stakes are a little bit larger. They're number 7 in the college football rankings. They're trying to get in that top 4. Obviously, they're still chasing some teams, and we'll see an updated ranking later this evening, see if they jump over Ohio State, which lost this past weekend. But, you know, playing simple, Steve hasn't – he's done a little bit of politicking, but hasn't done a ton of politicking, so I guess we need to do the politicking for him, I guess. But if Texas wins on Saturday – do they get in the top 4? Are they a playoff team, or is it the mountain just too high for them to climb? Kirk, you're kind of the guy that's making all the phone calls, talking to all the people.
When are you going to let me go first?
Well,
I haven't gone first this whole show.
Well, okay, probably. Well, let's.
I've been waiting.
Let's edge go with the hot take first.
They get in.
Bring it, Sid. Got to bring it now.
Yeah, what do you got?
They get in if they win.
Well, you said yesterday they weren't getting in.
That's not hot.
When did I say that?
You said that yesterday.
Yesterday what? In a private conversation?
Yeah.
Well, it's not private anymore, is it?
Well, you obviously changed your mind. What's going on?
Is that okay? Yes. Is that against the rules? Can a brother change his mind?
We wore him down, guys.
Who are they jumping if they win and everyone else wins? Who are they jumping?
Florida State.
Undefeated Florida State.
Florida State's going to lose to Louisville. That's my lead pipe cinch lock. They can't score with Louisville. I think the Horns get in number 4. And I think we're going to Phoenix. Are we going to – no, no. Are we going to Phoenix or are we going to
– L.A. L.A. New Orleans.
We're going to L.A. or New Orleans. We're going to New Orleans. Sugar Bowl. We're going back to the Big Sleazy. Yeah. They jump them. Sark was on SportsCenter right before we start taping. And he didn't politic, but he said if they win Saturday, then he'll be back on the show to start doing some real campaigning. Might be too late by then, but Texas takes care of business. Louisville beats Florida State. Louisville can score. We know that about them. We can't stop anybody, but they can score. I like Texas's chances to get number 4, and our lives are going to change. And Danny Davis won't be in San Antonio.
No comment. I'm not speaking that into existence yet. Kirk, what are your thoughts on? Do you think Texas has a viable chance at the top 4?
Very much so. And I'm glad my brother finally saw the light and has come around, because I too think Florida State will lose. I think they're just not the same team without Jordan Travis. And for people to suggest otherwise is just lunacy, because what if 8 players on Florida State's defense said, you know, we're going to sit out the rest of the season in the bowl game, and, you know, they're not the same team. So you got to consider the team in its entirety. So I think they do get in. I think Florida State loses. I haven't even got the Final 4 if you want it. It's going to be Georgia beating Alabama 1, Michigan slaughtering Iowa 2, Oregon 3, and Texas 4. And by that, no, Georgia has first pick of the – location, and you know they would take the Sugar Bowl. So I see Texas, Georgia, Sugar Bowl rematch. Of the
little payback for Kirby.
They won't be complacent this time. So, and here's one other thing I just said. You know, the number one team in the CFP gets their choice. So tonight is really going to be interesting. So say the committee goes with Michigan since they beat Ohio State, and Michigan stays number one. They would get their choice. So I wonder if Jim Harbaugh might play mind games and say, go to New Orleans. We'll send Georgia all the way across the country to the Rose Bowl.
Rose Bowl, Michigan Rose Bowl. You can't.
No, that's logical. Jim Harbaugh.
College football history. Harbaugh's not going to mess with that tradition.
He just wants to win the national. He didn't care about tradition. He wouldn't be cheating if he cared about tradition.
Like they weren't cheating way back in the day. Stop it.
Different kind.
You broke Barry Switzer. Stop it.
PJ.
That's the Sugar Bowl.
Hey, I think the way college football is shaking out this year, I don't think there's a single conference that will have two teams in it. I know some people are thinking, well, if Oregon, you know, beats Washington in Pac-12 title game, I don't think there'll be a conference with two teams. Will Texas get in? They do need Florida State to lose, in my opinion. I think there's a good chance that happens. I also think if that happens, I think Texas could be a 3 seed because I do think Oregon will beat Washington. I think Texas will be ranked higher than Oregon in that scenario. So I could easily see Texas as the number 3 team in the CFP rankings after this weekend shakes out.
And then we'll go to LA.
if I make a prediction, I think they play Michigan in the Rose Bowl right now.
It was my preseason prediction.
Oh, it's good.
That's pretty good. Man, you keep working hard, and maybe one day you'll be something in this business. Way to go, kid.
Give me 50 years. Who you got, Danny?
I'm going to say no. I just think the committee has made it clear that Texas has a long way to go, keeping them at 7, regardless of these last 4 weeks. We'll see if they stick at 7 later tonight. And I think Florida State has done enough these past 2 weeks to kind of at least convince me they can get by Louisville. I mean, Louisville is a fine team, but Louisville also lost to Kentucky last week. It's not like Louisville is, you know, beating the snot out of everyone they faced. And I think Florida State, the rest of their team is good enough to win with a backup quarterback and at least get by. They're not going to get left out if they're undefeated. And, you know, I think that would just, you know, I don't think Georgia's going to lose to Alabama. I think the Pac-12 gets a team in regardless. And then obviously the Big Ten, unless something crazy happens and Michigan loses, is going to be sending Michigan. So I just think it's too much for Texas to get over. I do think they win on Saturday, but I think they probably end up stuck in that 5 spot. You know, looking back at that Oklahoma game and kind of wondering what might have been. I just don't think Florida State's going to lose, but we'll also see. I mean, the committee has made surprises before, and last year they had a lot of decisions to make on the last day when TCU lost in the Big 12 championship game, and you know the Horned Frogs still got in. So you know sometimes there's some interesting decisions they make, but I just think that the Texas probably ends up being that 15 and ends up just on the outside looking in. But we'll see. I mean,
that's Dallas.
It's still not San Antonio, so I'll be happy regardless. Although I would prefer New Orleans over Dallas, but I'll take Dallas over San Antonio. Nothing against my friends in San Antonio. But this is a really busy week on campus. Obviously, there is the championship game in Arlington on Saturday. But let's just kind of go around campus. And in case you want to stay here and run the Longhorns starting Wednesday, you can get up really early, get and go to the Moody Center at 11 o'clock and join a few thousand kids from around the city, elementary and middle school students who will be screaming bloody murder. And make sure you bring your earplugs for that. It's the 40 acres field trip game against Oral Roberts for the Texas women, who jumped to number 10 in the AP poll this week. And then on Sunday is their big game. Obviously, UConn comes to town. UConn's number 11, 4-2 on the season, but their record is not as bad as it seems. They've lost a good UCLA and a good NC State team. So that will be a good 10 versus 11 tests for Vic Schaefer's team, which is 7-0, but they haven't played anyone. So this will be their first real test this season. The men's basketball team on Thursday night will be playing Texas State. So if you're a Longhorn with some Texas State friends, make sure you get out to the Moody Center for that one. And then the most important games on campus this weekend, over at Gregory Gym, volleyball team will begin their title defense. First round matchup. I still don't understand how this worked for the number two seed, but Texas A&M is their first round matchup, which is a tough first round draw, but nothing that Jerry Elliott's crew can't get done. But if they win that game, they'll face either Texas State or SMU in the second round on Sunday. And as TJ will find out on Thursday, Kirk and Seth, I already know, and I've known from covering this team for the past few years, there's really nothing like a playoff NCAA tournament volleyball at Gregory Gym. Texas fans, they know how to do it right. I mean, the football team, that was fun, but this volleyball team, they're passionate. It's a closed environment. Postseason volleyball where it's win or go home, it's a lot of fun. So if you have a chance to go see the Aggies play Texas on Thursday night or see that Friday night game before you head up to Arlington, I would endorse that because it's a lot of fun. And I'm a little jealous that TJ will be out there on Thursday and I'll be watching from home, but it'll be a lot of fun if you want to head on over to that. But on the drive up to Arlington on Saturday, you're going to need something to listen to. I suggest you on Second Thought podcast. And Kirk and Seth, what are we talking about this week?
All manner of sports, Texas OU. We're going to talk about the mullet and if he's ready to take over the Big 12 after Texas leaves. We're going to talk about Sarkisian's culture and where he is right now. And we're also working on a book, aren't we, Kirk?
Yes, we are. The Statesman Special, right? So I'm hoping you mentioned the volleyball, and that's going to be a great atmosphere. I hope they dredge up the Your Mark video again just to kind of hype the crowd. I think it should be shown at all home events from now on, don't you?
That's mean.
I would imagine Texas versus Texas A&M in the NCAA tournament, they're probably not going to need to hype up anything more than it's already going to be hyped up in that gym.
They show a Jimbo video, maybe. Maybe they could do that.
Yeah, maybe.
It's an SEC match, Kirk. They don't care about the Big 12 commissioner anymore.
Speak on that, TJ. Speak on that.
That's yesterday, right?
That's the past, baby.
Moving on.
And then obviously on Sunday, be sure to watch your TVs, check out Twitter. Texas will find out its bowl fate. The selection show for at least the semifinalists is at 11 o'clock in the morning. And if Texas doesn't make one of those bowl games, the news tends to trickle out over the next couple hours where exactly Texas will be heading. So be sure to check out that news. And that'll be on statesman.com where you can find all of our content. We appreciate you all reading all of our stuff throughout the week. We appreciate you watching us on YouTube. And we appreciate you listening to us wherever you get your podcasts. But we'll be back at some point. I don't really know exactly what our schedule is going to be going forward as we kind of head into this weird little, it's not quite the offseason as we're preparing for whatever Bull Texas is. But we'll be back at some point to chat all thing Longhorns. So be sure to subscribe and we'll magically appear wherever you like to listen to us. But we appreciate y'all. Have a great week. Enjoy the trip to Arlington. And we'll see you down the road. Deuces.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.